I am right now in Charlotte, North Carolina. I have a book signing tomorrow at Billy Graham's library. So looking forward to that. My wife came down with me. I brought my mom down with me. She's a big Billy Graham fan, so I'm looking. We're not going to get to see him because of his health, but you know, we hopefully get to see some his son and some other folks. So looking forward to it. Should be a great weekend.
All right, great. We'll open to questions. If you guys can just identify yourselves, and here we go.
Hey, Tim, Jerry McDonald from the Oakland Tribune. Thanks for doing this.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
The last couple of years when this time was rolling around, a couple of times we've reached you and you've like, you know, you really didn't want to even talk about it because you didn't want to just deal with it. Again, why this time do you want to go ahead and address it?
Well, you know, I think when I was introduced to this process, and what a gut-wrenching process it is, one of the things that I was told was, you know, basically how you come in is how you're going to go out, or, you know, how you get into the process is how you go out. Now, that hasn't been the case because Andre Reed came in before Chris Carter, but Chris went in before Andre, and God knows my man Charles Haley has been out there all these years, and people are going in and out without him sniffing the HOF. But you know, so I really think that not that this is my best shot, but now that I'm the veteran guy in the receiver group, you know, I'm sort of hoping that you know, I'll get a little bit more play or more favor this time when it comes to this deal, you know. So we'll see what happens, but you know, at the same time, you know, I think I've always talked about it, Jerry. You know, I just certainly, you know, because of the process, you know that you don't have any control of it. And I never wanted anybody to think that I was, you know, trying to campaign for this deal. I'm going to be down on Radio Row next week, and I'm sure I'm going to get plenty of questions about this.
You talked a little bit about Andre Reed and Chris Carter. Do you feel that the logjam has subsided a little bit and this might be your turn?
Well, I mean, certainly the logjam is not the same. You know, obviously Marvin Harrison is out there, and so that's one guy, not two guys. You know, I mean, at one point it was four guys, even though we knew Jerry was a foregone conclusion. So certainly it makes it a lot better when you look at geographically how we played, the three of us, Chris, Andre, and myself. I mean, we literally divided the country. You got the middle of the country, the West Coast, and the East Coast. So, so I think from that standpoint, you know, it was a difficult process. Now, if they decide that they're going to go with the receiver, at least it's two guys and not three, you know.
Right.
Tim, this is Josh Schubau from Associated Press. Just wondering, what's it like emotionally for you each year when you're going through the process? How hard is it to keep things in check?
Well, you know, Andre Reed is a really, really good friend. So I really wanted this to happen for him because I knew how important it was for him. Not that it's not important to me, but it was a lot easier to digest than last year. And even when Chris went in a year before that, because you know these guys deserve it, and you can't say, well, I should have went in before him. Now, I probably have a lot of people around me saying that, but there's never anything that I'm going to say, that's for sure, because, you know, I mean, how can one say, you know, hey, my career was a lot better than his? You know, I mean, I can't get into that kind of thing anyway. So I think from that standpoint, man, you know, it's a process that you just have to try and keep your emotions in check, and certainly the people around you, more importantly, you have to keep their emotions in check.
Isn't that a strange thing, knowing that, yeah, you probably are going to be a Hall of Famer, but you have no idea when? No
control. You know, if I had a dollar for every time I've heard that, oh, you're definitely going to get in. It's just a matter of time. If I had a dollar for every time I can retire right now, again. So, I said to someone the other day, I said, you know, I mean, the process can get so difficult that you almost wish that they can tell you, okay, this is going to be your year, and whatever that day is, you just prepare for that, because going through this process, process is very, very tough. And not, you know, I can deal with it. You know, I'm used to the tough questions, the tough defeats, the big wins, and all that kind of stuff. But the people around me, man, have no idea how to deal with this stuff. So it's amazing that, you know, I have to talk other people off the ledge, not myself, you know.
Right. Levi Damian, SB Nation. Tim, there's a lot of people who believe that, you know, say you were talking about how last year Andre Reed got in, before that Chris Carter, and it seems like there's this reluctance to put in more than one player at the same position. And some people believe that it probably should just be, if you deserve to go in the Hall of Fame, you should go in. Would you say you agree with that?
Fan rooting interest light.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the problem is, you know, for some reason they got this thing limited to five people, you know, seven counting the veteran committee or whatever. But I would have thought by now, because of the influx of guys who are eligible, that they would have extended that number up to, you know, seven guys plus the two, or maybe even a total of 10 guys to go in. And yeah, I understand the exclusivity deal. You wanted to everybody to feel, but believe me, I don't think that must be something that the voters think about, because as a player, you could care less how many guys are going in with you. You want to be in. So yeah, I mean, you know, obviously that's how we feel, but at the same time, you know, there's nothing that can be done about the process, or will be done about the process. So it is what it is, and you just have to live through it.
Have you ever tried to talk to any of the selectors or your presenter or anybody and find out what went on inside that room, or would you rather not know?
Well, I think the first year, you know, because everybody had hyped you up and everybody was saying there was a chance, you know, so I think I may have sat down with him after that year and, you know, tried to figure out exactly what is going on. But, you know, basically I get the same thing from him every year, is, and he's saying that, you know, when he talks to people, everybody's saying that they're going to do it, and then nobody does it, and then nobody's saying that they didn't do it. Everybody says, oh, yeah, I voted for him. So, you know, so from that standpoint, you know, you know, because they don't have to announce who voted for who, it becomes a useless process of going around the room and trying to figure out who did what and why didn't they do what they said they were going to do. So you know, again, when these folks make up their mind that they want to put you in, they're going to put you in. And from that standpoint, I don't think there's anything else you can do about it.
Did it catch you off guard when another receiver, Marvin Harrison, made it a step further than you and he came in after you?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Did it catch you off guard last year that a receiver, Marvin Harrison, who came in the process after you, made it a step further than you did last year?
No, you know, I didn't even realize that, man, to be honest with you, because all I knew is I didn't make it, you know, I didn't make the top 10 or whatever, and after that, you know, I pretty much, you know, actually I was in a helicopter ride from Atlantic City to New York for last year when all this was going on. So by the time I landed, I knew what the final deal was. I don't think I knew about the breakdown. So you know, it is what it is, brother.
Right.
Tim, how much do you think the increase in passing stats since you've retired has sort of maybe hurt their candidacy? The guys are putting up bigger and bigger numbers since then than maybe they were during your era.
Well, I don't know why it would hurt, you know, what we did, because it's not like all these guys are racing by our numbers, you know. I mean, yeah, I mean, they're putting up great numbers. I know Fitzgerald got to 900 quicker than anybody, but, I mean, the last couple of years for him, you know, have just been okay. I mean, by his standards, not by anybody else's standards. So you know, it's going to be interesting to see how these guys finish up. You know, we all have, you know, pretty long careers. I don't see these guys playing that long simply because, you know, they're going to make so much money. There's not going to be any reason for them to. You know, the only reason to play long is to have your name, you know, in the top five, top two or three in the history of the NFL. So it's going to be interesting to see if these guys can fight through and to do that, because, you know, I tell everybody all the time, football is not a rich man's sport. You know, once you get the riches, it's pretty hard to go to the middle of the field and take a hit in the head. And I know you can't get hit in the head anymore, but still, to take those shots, it's not something you want to do. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think that argument, man, is I don't necessarily agree with that, because, you know, it'd be one thing if you had 20 receivers who were racing by, but I don't think that's going to end up being the case.
Hey, Tim. It's Scott Baer from CSM Bay Area, and we've been talking a lot about kind of the stress that goes along with this process. But will it matter once you get in? Like, will it be any more or less gratifying once you are a Hall of Famer if you get to that point? Will this process kind of change the way you view being a Hall of Famer?
Well, sort of yes and no. You know, I mean, once you're in, you're in, and you know, so all the glory or whatever that comes with that comes with that. You know, I mean, but sitting on the outside, it's a difficult process to even think that way. You know, for me, you know, I tell people, you know, one of the things people say to you all the time is, hey, once you get in, it's going to be great or whatever, whatever. You know, but you know, in the 5 years or you know now 6 years that I've been up, you know, I've lost my dad. You know, at that time, you know, I lost a great friend, Chester McLaughlin, who was my best friend in the world. And Mr. Davis has passed away. So those are three people that I won't get an opportunity to shake their hand and get a congratulations from them. But Chester hit me on the back of the head and said, boy, I can't believe they put your sorry butt in the Hall of Fame. You know, so, you know, those are things that I don't get the opportunity to enjoy. So from that standpoint, you know, you can't get those moments back. So will it be sweeter than it would have been? It would absolutely not. So I mean, I've said that since the day, you know, I lost those guys, that not having those guys around is going to make this process a little bit, even once you get in, it's going to make it bittersweet.
Tim, Jerry Nack, how are you?
Good, good. How are you?
Great. You know, you played a long time, caught over 1,000 passes, even though you're not in the Hall of Fame yet. You're mentioned in the same breath with a lot of Hall of Fame wide receivers. What do you think your legacy is? You were always had a reputation as the hard worker, the guy who did it right. What do you think your legacy is going to be when people look back at Tim Brown's career?
Well, you know, I think people are going to try, and you know, one of the things I hear is people trying to figure out how I got done what I got done with the, you know, with the group I had around me. And, you know, I take a little onus to that simply because, you know, everybody look at the names and they say, well, this guy was, you know, was not the Kyle caliber of this guy, that guy. But, you know, these guys were quality football players. And, you know, we had a lot of different circumstances going on at the time that may have caused their careers to not go as they should. But so for me, you know, I think, you know, the one thing that I'm proud of is the fact that no matter who the quarterback was, the AD, not the AD, I've been talking to too many colleges, who the GM was, who the offensive coordinator was, I was able to go out and put up numbers, man. And so, I mean, that's the one thing that I'm super proud of. And, you know, and the one thing that I think sets me apart from anybody that's out there, because the one question somebody asked me, if you were in the room, what would you ask the voters? I said, I would ask them one question. You name one other receiver that wanted to trade positions with Tim Brown. You name one guy that would have said, "Yeah, I'll give up Peyton Manning, I'll give up Montana Young." Jerry and I have had this conversation for years, you know. So, you know, it's just not anybody. I know Michael Irvin. Michael Irvin and I had that conversation for years. I used to ask him all the time at the Pro Bowl, "You want to switch with me? Come on, switch with me." But he would never take me up on that offer. So, you know, I think I probably did it the hard way. You know, I probably could have left and gone, and actually did try to sign a contract with the Broncos way back in '94. But the Raiders brought me back, and I decided I was going to be a lifetime Raider. So maybe that's going to be my downfall in this deal. I should have left and went to some team with some great quarterback and put the numbers up. But I'm happy that I stayed where I was and did what I did.
Hey, Damian again from SB Nation. I did want to ask you, it seems like this year, like more than any year I can remember, there's some pretty big names, like you mentioned, Andre Reed and Jerry Rice are a couple of guys that are really campaigning hard for you to get in the Hall of Fame this year. I don't know if you've heard any of that, but has it contributed to your optimism that you might get in this year? And do you think the committee is listening?
I don't know what kind of effect that has, you know, on the committee. You know, again, Andre and I, man, going back to my rookie year in '88, you know, we made a Pro Bowl together. I think it was his first, and obviously it was my first. And you know, we have been, you know, really, really good friends, you know, through all this, and you know, through the end of his career, the end of my, you know, it's just one of those things, man. So it's much bigger than just the Hall of Fame with the two of us. So. So from that standpoint, you know, I'm not shocked that he is he's saying that. I was with him in London for the Raider game, and you know, he talked about it then, and you know, wanted to do a whole bunch of stuff. I said, Andre, man, I'm not asking you to do anything, you know, but you know, so he is who he is, and of course, Jerry and I think Jerry had a totally different respect for me once he came over. And played with the Raiders and understood everything that I had dealt with and how I kept fighting through it and getting it done. So again, but he's a guy who is a good friend. He's a good friend, and I wouldn't expect him to say anything other than what he said. But at the same time, you know, I don't know if it's affecting the voters or not. You know, I heard one time that. If a guy played with you, or if he's the same position, then they don't take that into consideration. But if a guy that played against you is saying that, that's not a teammate, then, you know, they may take it into consideration. So, you know, I appreciate what the guys are saying, but I don't know if it's having an effect on the voters.
Jim, you think the special team stuff kind of gets overlooked? I mean, how long did Ray Guy have to wait? You have 4,500 yards in return yards, and I think the only other Hall of Famer that's anywhere close to you is Bobby Mitchell, who has like 3,000 something. Is that part of it? You think that people have been overlooked?
Yeah, well, you know, it's hard for me to say yes on that, but I would assume so, because you never hear people bring it up for the most part when they're talking about it. And I know one year I told Frank Cooney, who is the guy that represents me, to make that the emphasis of his conversation, but it didn't seem as if people wanted to hear that. And I think that was a year that they didn't put in a receiver, so it must have been a year that Chris Carter went in 2012. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what it is about that, because, you know, again, you know, that was obviously a big part of who I was. And you know, I did see on one broadcast that they had me listed as wide receiver / kick returner / punt returner. So, you know, that was exciting for me to see, because that's the thing that I've been telling people, even before this process came about, that, you know, you couldn't look at me as just being a receiver, because obviously, you know, I had to do more in the football field than just, you know, play receiver.
Hey, Tim, can I get one non-Hall of Fame question? What do you think of the Del Rio hire and the Raiders' progress?
I was shocked, but at the same time, I thought Del Rio was one of these guys that didn't like the Raiders. It was good to hear that he grew up being a Raider fan. So, you know, Jack and I go way back. Obviously, we played against each other back in the day. So, but I think it's a great hire for the Raiders. This is a guy that is a tough guy, a guy that has a lot of experience. I think the number I saw was 139, you know, games he's coached, and that's big. I think the Raiders needed a coach that had been there, done that already, and so I think second time around he knows exactly what to do and what not to do. So I think he's going to be great, man. Looking forward to coming out there and shaking his hand and congratulating him in person. I've done that on Twitter and all that kind of stuff, but no, I think Jack is going to be great, and I'm looking forward to see what he's going to be able to put together.
This is Mike Taylor. You know, Tim talked about his return game. You know, before Tim caught a pass in the NFL, he returned a kickoff return for a touchdown, 97 yards for a touchdown. He didn't catch a pass until the third quarter. and you take that, you take the other end. He was the oldest player to return a punt 88 yards. So, and in between there, he caught over 1,000 passes. So.
I love you too, Michael.
Hey, Tim, did you say who's going to be introducing you at the Hall of Fame? Should you make it in this year?
It would definitely be my brother. I mean, he is the reason why I started playing football. I thought I was going to be a basketball player, but, you know, he's the one who convinced me to start playing football. I mean, football, so it would definitely be him.